to really honor their continues to be a lot happening in the world. This feels like it has been our journey. And it makes these opportunities of pausing and practicing with the support of community even more precious, even more important. So, so let's begin with practice to allow a soft landing into this moment. Whatever that might be for you, it might be that the nervous system needs a little orienting, eyes open before closing. Before closing the eyes, you know, that loving landing in the space where you are. And it might be in some way that the eyes want to remain open for some duration of the practice, and really trusting that. And there might be support for you now or at some time through the simplification of softening the gaze or closing the eyes. And trusting that. This practice is an opportunity for slowing down in the midst of the momentum of this fast-paced world, and stilling the body by relaxing into a posture that balances ease and alertness. Inviting the possibility of settling into the support offered beneath and behind you. Letting yourself be received by the earth, the cushion, or the chair. letting yourself be nourished by the restfulness of being rooted here in this moment. Beginning to notice the replenishment offered by each in-breath. Drinking it in. Letting it fill you. Feed you. Just allowing a slow and spacious settling into the lived experience, body and breath, here and now. And having invited this gathering of attention, awareness, to the experience of the body here and now. We can rest the snow globe of the mind on the steadiness, the stillness of the body. Letting it be a support for the tension, the tenderness of the mind. We can begin to watch, to witness the activity of the mind. It's a bit like sitting at the window of the mind and watching the flakes of thoughts fears, opinions float by. Sometimes it might be a gentle flurry of ideas. Sometimes it might feel like a blizzard of thoughts. Just watching the inner weather system of the mind as it expresses. you may be able to discern individual flakes of mind, the particular habits of mind that present themselves. Wanting something, not wanting something else. Agitation, distraction, scatteredness. Sluggishness, maybe even doubts or questions about how to practice, if to practice, in troubling times. Sitting and watching the mind float by. Letting yourself be curious about the unique shape and quality of each thought. Some thoughts are fleeting, melting quickly under the warmth of your mindful gaze. Some may stick. Accumulating into a pile of memories, plans, preferences, daydreams. And if at some point you find yourself buried in thoughts, or if you find yourself busy managing thoughts, moving them around, shoveling them into piles, just brush yourself off and make a metaphorical cup of tea and sit back down at the window of the mind and just watch the habits move. Nothing to fix, change, or figure out. Just a curious, kind attention. Perhaps letting yourself notice not only the thoughts, but the spaces between them. as we come to the final few minutes of this practice period, noticing the impact of this capacity to watch the mind. With a kind and curious awareness, may this capacity to not be entangled driven by the habit energies of the mind, offer an example an island of steadiness. Sanity, in the midst of a world that's pulled by wanting and not wanting, may the calm, clear energy of our practice contribute to a world that allows for all beings to know safety, peace, freedom, and well-being. It's good to be with each of you, and you know, I know that what's happening in the world is really impacting most of the people that I'm sitting with, and you know, the situation in the Ukraine in particular is a focal point for a lot of tension and tenderness, you know, in people as I'm meeting with them, and I can feel that inside myself, and you know, and I also recognize that it's one of many pockets where there's actually harm happening in our world right now. It's probably the one that's most in the forefront, but it's certainly not the only place where we see the impact of these energies. You know, we've talked over these years of, you know, the defilements, as they're sometimes called, of greed, hatred, and delusion, that in something like this we just see playing out on such a large scale. And I don't know if it's true for you, but what I find is, you know, times like this bring us to the edges of our practice. Yeah, they sometimes take us right over the edge of our practice. And there can be a questioning that can arise, you know, of how is it possible to practice with this? This too, you know, this too. Oh gosh, is the heart steady enough? Is the heart big enough to be with this? There can also be questions of, you know, is this helping? Is this enough? Is it okay? You know, I'm hearing that from folks, and in the, you know, the helplessness of being at a distance, you know, what do we do? You know, what do? We don't have Ukrainian refugees on our doorstep that we can welcome in and feed and tend to, you know. So there's often these doubts. You know, I was just on retreat last week, and there were questions from participants of the teachers of, I don't know, is it okay to be on retreat right now? You know, it feels selfish, or it feels, you know, questionable to unplug, to not know what's happening. And, you know, many of these are very personal questions. There's not an answer. And yet, you know, one of the things that I keep coming home to is that, and this was pointed to, I so appreciated in the retreat on many occasions, that, you know, this practice is valuable. Yeah. Thich Nhat Hanh, you know, we've spoken of him and his recent passing, and was such a teacher of peace in so many ways. You know, his practice flourished, came to life in a much deeper way in the midst of, in the wake of the Vietnam War, and you know, in so many ways in his teaching, he's often pointing to world peace begins with inner peace. You know, when we think about what are we doing? Is this doing any good? Gil Fronsdal, one of the teachers that I was with on retreat last week, you know, said something to the effect of, if there's something you can directly do, do it. Like, you know, our practice is about action. And if there's not something you can directly do in the moment, it's actually not helpful to become entangled in everything that's happening, you know, and this is where our practice can be of great value. Our practice is all about getting to the roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, right? Of looking at the habits of mind and heart that feed harm. And becoming intimate with these habits of mind and heart on a very local level, you know, is part of the larger arc towards justice that Martin Luther King spoke of that world peace that Thich Nhat Hanh points us toward. You know, will your individual practice, will our group's practice here today end the war in Ukraine? I don't know. I'm holding don't know mind. And what I absolutely know is it does not hurt. And as Thich Nhat Hanh pointed to, you know, in his experience of being in the refugee boats in the wake of the war, if one person in that boat had a settled mind and body and heart, it was enough for the boat to not sink. He experienced this, you know. If there was one person, and, you know, I do believe that if we are to move in the direction of peace, we need as many settled hearts and peaceful minds as we can on this planet to offer a different energy, to build a different momentum. So the streams of goodness and generosity and solidarity that are also arising in the world in response to the senseless violence and assault is also part of what's here, you know, and that's what our practice allows us to join in solidarity with, you know, to really feel the wholesomeness of participating in that. You know, I was looking at different nuggets of wisdom and inspiration, you know, the Buddha, you know, says there is no higher happiness than peace. There is no higher happiness than peace. And Jack Kornfield, commenting on this, says the human mind can create conflict. It can also create peace. To find peace in the world, we must find peace in ourselves. You know, and part of that is finding ways of working with the habit energies of mind, not, you know, to not let our minds be colonized by fear and anger and hatred, which we can have reactivity to what's going on, right? You know, as I'm sitting with people, most people are not, you know, neutral about what's happening in the world. And our practice is not getting to a flat place. You know, equanimity is not about, like, I'm okay with this. Equanimity is, I will allow the waves of anger, of fear, of hurt to move through me, and I can work with those skillfully. Let myself act from a place of steadiness and care. Yeah. So what, you know, what I thought I would offer in the coming weeks, this is sort of the prelude, is a series on five of the habits of mind that get in our way of acting in a way that is responsive, balanced, clear, compassionate. It's one of the many lists of the Buddha. You know, he's so good at the lists. And we've looked at a number of them over these last years. And this is another one that is a fruitful one. And you may be aware of it. So I'll just name them and as a sneak preview. And we'll take a deep dive into each habit. So these are our friends, the five hindrances. And they are desire, that energy of wanting, the stickiness. Ill will, which includes hostility, hatred, that energy of not wanting, the energy of aversion. What's classically known, and we'll unpack some other names for it, as sloth and torpor. You know, when this was translated, and I don't remember when, in England, sloth and torpor were probably more common words than now. But it's that energy of collapse, you know, that kind of energy of retreating or hiding. Restlessness, agitation, and doubt. And so, you know, there was a light pointing to some of these flavors of habits of mind in the guided practice. And learning to recognize the hindrances, they really are friends in some ways, you know, we could think of it that way. They have so much to teach. And they're gateways to freedom when we know these more fully. And they help us become that steady person in the boat for the world. You know, to stand rooted in the integrity of our own hearts. They help us stop making war with life in many ways. And maybe I'll just end with a little quote, and then we'll see what's here. This is from Ajahn Chah, who was a Thai forest master, teacher, monk, who taught many of the Western teachers here in the U.S. He said, "We human beings are constantly in combat. At war to escape the fact of being so limited by so many circumstances we cannot control. But instead of escaping, we continue to create suffering, waging war with evil, waging war with good, waging war with what is too small, waging war with what is too big, waging war with what is too short or too long, or right or wrong, courageously carrying on the battle." So this series for the coming weeks will be a way of exploring, finding peace in our own minds and hearts as a gateway to more peace in the world. That's my hope. And I know I've been appreciating revisiting the hindrances, and I hope you will too. And given that we're such a small group,